asked Brad for help, and he's like, I don't know if I can do it. But here's the thing. I had this revelation sort of occurred to me that is why I wanted to kind of begin praying through the Psalms myself and why I want to do this series. And I was praying, and I don't know how this occurred to me, but who knows the difference between analog and digital? This isn't a thought experiment. Okay, good. So you can help me, and if I don't articulate this well, you can sort of correct me. Analog, very simply, think of analog like waves, okay? It's one stream up and down. That's simplified, but it'll do. Digital is ones and zeros. Everything's open or closed. It's on or off. That's one and zero. That's all digital is. So digital is a whole bunch of little pieces all over the place that come together, and analog is one steady sort of stream. That's oversimplified, but not if you feel like I did somewhat justice to... Okay, maybe not. Well, you can correct me later, but that's sort of the way I think of it. Now, here's what occurred to me. As I have become more digital, right? I have become more digitized. There's parts of me over here, and there's a bit of me over there, and I'm scattered, and little bits and pieces just everywhere that need to kind of all be put together to show you who I am, right? And to show me who I am. And I think sometimes, I mean, the ways that we use our technology can be very harmful to us as people. I love technology. There's three QR codes in the bulletin. If you use those, scan them, find out what's going on. I like it, but we need to be careful not to become scattered. And I think praying through the Psalms helps us to become back to being analog, to be who we were made to be one whole person. So that was just a thought. That's not really the sermon or part of it. I just wanted to share that with you a little bit this morning as I was thinking through that. I had a conversation this week over lunch that made me think, you know, I should just share that with the congregation. And so I hope that helps. But we are working through the Psalms, and we're going to be in Psalm 67. Again, if you hadn't been here for the last, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, turn this thing on. You may not know this. There we go. Whoop. Okay. Just to kind of give you a background, the Jews, you may have heard this before, but I'm bringing this back up to speed. The way we're moving through this series on praying the Psalms, the Jewish people had a way of praying the blessings of God, right? The Shemona Esra actually means 18 blessings. There are 18. The core of them, though, are these five: blessing the name of God, blessing for redemption, blessing for our needs, forgiveness, repentance, which is why when the disciples come and they say, Jesus, teach us some new cool thing, way to pray, the way John taught his disciples to pray, and Jesus really says, guys, same thing you've always known. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Pray what you know to pray, right? And so I'm trying to take us back there and say, what is it that we need to be praying? And today we are on Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, the blessing for the needs. And the psalm, this is the psalm, there are very few psalms that actually come to this. Here is a good one, though, Psalm 67. I'll read it, and we'll kind of talk through it a little bit. And I kind of want to talk about some other things that kind of relate to this. So it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Now, this is like a song that the Hebrews would have sung kind of like at their Oktoberfest. The blessing of God is a harvest hymn. It's a God has blessed us. God will bless us. things are good in the land, and they will continue to be good. God, make your face shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Now, as I was working through this and thinking through it, the first thing that came to mind when I first read, may God be gracious and bless us, is this. You may have heard it. We call it the Aaronic blessing. It's not ironic. Aaron, who was the first priest, Moses' buddy that was the first priest in Israel. And this is it. You may have heard it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This was to be the blessing with which the priests blessed the people. And I find it interesting that it's the same words. We'll see those words repeated again and again and again in several Old Testament prayers, that the people are asking that God be gracious to us and bless us. Now, here's what happens, and here's why I keep encouraging you, and I hope you are, to kind of begin to pray the Psalms yourself, because they give you words when you have them. When I began to pray through that and think through these words that were given to me by a long-dead saint, the first thing I thought of when I came to this is, when we ask God to be gracious to us, it ought to humble us. It ought to, more than anything else, call up in our own minds our own need for his grace. It ought to remind us, oh man, I really need to continue to ask that. God, be gracious to me. Bless me. Grace, I don't deserve grace. A recognition of that leads us into repentance. That was just one thing I thought through as I went. Now, the other thing that you notice quickly is that this is really, while it's asking God, it starts out, God bless us. It quickly turns to, your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. It's not about our blessing, it's about God's name being known. And I just want to point out quickly this word judge, because we're Americans. There's so much here that we really need to kind of wrestle with. You judge the nations with the peoples with equity. We hear that. We think, oh, God's a judge, right? He's gonna come and tell you who's good and who's bad. That's not the way they heard it. That's why we have a book. We have a whole chapter, whatever you want to call it, in the Bible called Judges. And there's nobody in that. There's nobody in that that comes and says, you're wrong and you're right. These are the people who, what do? They bring justice. They straighten out what is disordered. That's what they do. That's what the ancient Israelites understood a judge to be, is someone who brings justice and rightness to the world. And that's what the psalmist says God does. So we need to hear that right. So many times we hear God is judge, and I know people are like, oh, no, that's scary. No, that's not. No! God is judge means, please hurry and set this stuff right. Everything we talked about last week, all the reasons to lament, God will ultimately straighten out. Another thing I want to mention is very important here, because there's over and over it says peoples. I've said this before, but it's one of my favorite facts about Hebrew. People in Hebrew, the way they understood people was a thing. We here at BCC are a people who exist for the glory of God. A single people. So when the psalmist says, let all the peoples praise you, here's what's going on in this psalm. We here in Israel, okay, for a minute, we're back here, the original audience of this. We here in Israel are a single people created for the glory of God. God, may you bless us. So that all those other peoples, the Babylonians and the Egyptians and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Gigazites and all the ites that you read about, and you go, ugh, those are the other peoples for which the psalmist is crying out, God, may they praise you as well. Bless us, and then let them praise you. This is what I kind of want to get into a little bit so that we can understand this. A biblical theology of blessing. I'm going to take you back. It's going to get a little scattered, but stay with me for just a minute so we can kind of understand what it is when we're asking God to bless us, okay? I'm going to take you to Genesis 11. This is what we call primordial history. Another quick little lesson. The Bible begins in Exodus. Okay. Don't see too many shocked faces. The Bible begins in Exodus when Moses shows, well, God shows up to Moses, and Moses goes to the people, and the people are like, who's this God? What's he got to do with us? We don't know this Yahweh you're talking about. And Genesis is given to the people then through Moses to be backstory. Well, let me tell you who this God is and what he's got to do with you. And it really begins in Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham, their first ancestor, who's really named and given the blessing of God. Genesis 1 through 11 is backstory for why God even came to Abraham in the first place. We'll get to all of that if you come on Saturday morning at 9:30. We're going to talk about some of this stuff. There is a discipleship class. Love to have you there. But this is the key turning point, one of the most fascinating two chapters in the Bible to me. Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. You may know where this is going if you know this story. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. The people here, and they want to make a name for themselves. They want to establish an identity of their own. They want to let everyone know who they are. They want to feel good about their position on earth because they've been scattered. And then they've got all the building materials. They've got everything they need. And their goal is to establish a name for themselves on the earth. That's what they want to do. Now, if you know this story, you know where it goes. It's what we call the Tower of Babel. Babel, the word comes out of this idea of when God then sees what they've done. He crushes the tower. He confuses their language. Scatters them all over the earth. This is why we say we don't understand somebody. He's babbling, right? That's why Douglas Adams has the babble fish that you put in your ear in outer space so you can understand aliens, all you Hitchhiker's Guide fans. That's what happens. Now, this led me to a question. What are the ways that you and I, that we, I don't know, what's this, thousands of years later, right, beyond Babel, that we seek to make a name for ourselves? And what does that mean for us? How do we do that? I think the battery's dead, this thing. We go to the next slide, River. Oh, my bad. Okay, Easy Street. We want to establish a name, want to make ourselves feel better. We want to build a comfortable life. That's one way that we might do that, creating method or means of comfort for ourselves. There, popularity. This is an interesting one because, and again, I think this gets to us being somewhat digitized. I mean, how many of you don't have to raise your hands. How many of us check Facebook at least 5 times a day to see how many people liked something we said? Or Twitter to see how many people retweeted us, or Instagram, or all these things. Why do we do that? Because we want to feel popular. We want to feel like people respect us and admire us. Now, some of you are like, well, I'm not on Facebook or Twitter or any of those things, so I don't struggle with that. Yeah, you do. You still want to be heard. You want to be recognized. This is human. I think this is what they were doing in Babel. They wanted to be seen and recognized for who they are, who they were. Money. Maybe that's about security. Maybe it's about comfort. Maybe it's about, it could be about a lot of things for us. What is money about? But this is, I think, a way we seek to make a name for ourselves. And my personal favorite, knowledge. This is where I struggle. I'm right and you're wrong. And if you just listen to me, then the world will be a better place. That's the same thing. Right? That's me trying to make a name for ourselves, or myself, That's what we do. And there are hundreds of other ways, I think, that you and I as humans seek to establish our own identity and raise ourselves up. And we might ask the blessing of God on us in these endeavors. God, bless me so that I can be comfortable. Bless me so that I can be popular. Bless me so that I can be secure and not worry about tomorrow. Bless me so that others will learn from me, or bless me that I might be smarter than other people. These are all things that we might ask the blessing of God in order to make a name for ourselves. And this is what's really cool. The next chapter, the very beginning, right, when God calls Abraham, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why is it that God wants to bless anybody? In order to bless through them. We see that in the psalm. Bless us. Be gracious to us. Bless us. Make your face shine. God, do this. Let all the peoples praise you. If you bless us, that was the whole design. It's right here in Genesis 12. The whole design of God all the time was, let me bless my people so that I can bless other people. And I think sometimes we've begun to turn that on its head. I think sometimes we get this wrong. This is one example. I think when we get so close. Now, don't hear me wrong. Please don't write me an anonymous card about how bad I am for using an example from popular evangelical culture. This is about a 15-year-old book. Many of you may have read it. Now, I like Bruce Wilkinson, and in many ways I like this book. If you haven't read it, I'm going to give you a background. Prayer of Jabez. He gets the theme of his book from 1 Chronicles 4:9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez is like a Hebrew for he brought pain. Which, can you imagine going through life with that name? Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. Now, hear me very, very carefully, because I'm not even really talking so much about the book. In the book, I think Bruce Wilkinson, and I believe if we had him here, he would say, Jabez had this biblical theology in mind. Everything I've just told you, Jabez knew better than we know, that God wants to bless me and enlarge my territory so that he will bless those around me. And I think Bruce, if he were standing here, would say that. But I know a lot of people, more than 11 million people bought this book. I don't know how many of them read it. I know a lot of them did read it, and I've had conversations, and they what they say is, no. And I hear this a lot. God wants to bless me and enlarge my territory and enlarge my bank account and fill in the blank with whatever that means for different people by bless me. God wants to do that for me because he loves me. God wants to bless you so that you can bless others. Now, here's the thing that I think we struggle with. And here, this verse in this book was one of the first things that kind of came to my mind when I started thinking through, praying through the psalm. We'll look back at that in a minute. But this is one thing I came to realize as I read and I flipped back at Chronicles and I read Jabez's prayer, and I recognized that this is a prayer of dependency. This is where I went. This is me journaling, so I'll try to sort it out. I just want to read you a little bit of my thoughts at the time. No wonder we, or maybe I, struggle so much with fears of the prosperity gospel around every corner. We fail, this is what I'm trying to tell you, is prepare prosperity. Around every corner, we fail to grasp the dependency that we have. We easily think we are responsible for our middle class income. It's me that makes me responsible for my middle class lifestyle, right? And I said prosperity preachers generally focus on the stuff, and this is true, that moves us beyond that. You don't hear prosperity preachers say, just ask God and he'll give you $35,000 a year. You don't hear that. But they focus on the stuff that moves us beyond that. Wherever we are, we rarely sit back long enough to acknowledge our utter dependence on God for the stuff that we had today and the stuff that we need tomorrow. When we pray, we are often consumers looking for more to consume from the hand of God. Perhaps a better perspective would be that we are beggars. If we saw ourselves as beggars, we would be less prone to the errors of prosperity theology, but still able to understand our position as recipients of God's grace and goodness. God, help me to see myself not as entitled or as a middle-class kingdom citizen, but as a beggar that you will bless in order to bless others. And I think that helps us to not be afraid, because sometimes I'm afraid. If you're like me, maybe you're afraid to say, God, bless me so that I can bless others, because I'm afraid I might be misinterpreted or misunderstood. But if I recognize that, you know what? Breakfast, coffee was a blessing from God. If I live that out, then I'm not quite as afraid. If I start thinking, well, everything I have now is okay, but everything I want, I need to ask God for. No. I need to say everything I have now is a blessing from God. Sometimes just stop there. And here's the thing. If God is blessing us in order to bless others, I have a confession to make that might terrify you. It terrifies me. Some of the people in my life who have been the biggest blessing to me have been those who have struggled with suffering. Your blessing may be a deep wound God will use to grow you and grow others. So how should we see this and where should this take us? Now, there's this great story, and I just got to share this with you. A singer and songwriter who I really like a lot is Derek Webb. You probably heard me mention him. And he tells a story. His first single, really, as a solo artist, was a song called Wedding Dress. And he tells a story about writing it. He went to a Christian booksellers and album, a Christian CD, music, and all this, you know, big conference where all the radio and booksellers, all these people were at. Huge conference, right? This is, again, 15 years ago. He was there, and Bruce Wilkinson was there. Bruce Wilkinson spoke. Now, Bruce said something toward the end of his talk. He said, here's what I want. I want you all to pray these words, pray the prayer of Jabez for the next year. And the next year, when we come back to this conference, I want you to come to me and I want you to tell me about how you had to buy the business next door to you so that you could expand. I want you to come to me and tell me about how your sales have just skyrocketed. I want you to come to me and tell me about all the great new bands that you've signed to your record labels because you've prayed this prayer. That was how that. Now, I don't know if that's what he said. That's what Derek Webb says he heard him say. That's all I'll say. And Derek was infuriated by this, right? He was angry because he's like, that's not what God says. But then this is what's beautiful. And this is what I think is the gospel. And this is what I really, 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 really need to hear. Derek immediately, well, maybe not immediately, but in due time, he went, wait, how do I do that? That's why, if you saw it, I put on Facebook, Christian, if you're more concerned about someone else's obedience than your own disobedience, you're doing it wrong. Because we easily can stand here and point fingers at maybe a slight twist in theology, or we could sit here and we could point fingers out there and say, look at all those folks who just aren't here today. We could do any of those things. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to recognize our own need. And so when we see things like that, maybe we don't agree with, and then Derek went home from that conference. Well, actually went to his hotel room that night, and he wrote his song Wedding Dress, which will be posted online. It's scheduled to go up on Facebook this afternoon, so you can hear the whole thing. I don't want to quote it all because it uses a thoroughly biblical word that you will find in Isaiah, in Ezekiel 16, repeatedly, that might offend some of us. Of course, the song was meant to offend But this is part of it. Should I read between the lines to look for blessings in disguise to make me handsome, rich, and wise? Is that really what you want? Is that what God wants for us? Derek asks that question. So I think that should lead us to humility, not to judgment. So please understand and don't send me an anonymous card. I'm not judging Bruce. If anything, you should help me to see how am I like that. So what are our blessings and what can we do with them? I would say to you, discover your blessings. Find out what they are, your gifts, your resources, your time. These are all blessings that we've been given. And learn to bless others. Guys, we're great at this. Last year, this church gave $123,000 to missions. That's a lot. That's awesome. I'm excited. I want us to give 123,000 hours of our time away this next year. That's a whole lot more expensive to us. That's a whole lot more challenging, but it is one of our blessings that I think we're called to give away. I want to encourage you again to come this Saturday at 9:30, and hopefully through this process of discipleship course I'm doing, maybe we can begin to sort out what are some of my gifts, how can I give things back. Use your whole life to make a difference in the world. All of us, all of our being should be given back. Let's take a look again. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth. Let your saving power among all nations, let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples. Let the people across the street or down the road or over there in Mandate, let all the peoples praise you because you've blessed us. Let the nations be glad to sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the nations, let all the ends of the earth fear him. Think about it. What's the focus of the psalm? This is a psalm of blessing. This is a psalm where the psalmist, where we pray out, God, bless us. The focus isn't us. The focus is on the nations. It's worth thinking through. That's worth praying through. That's worth spending some time in the psalm and asking ourselves that question. God, when I ask for blessing, am I most concerned about my tomorrow? Or am I most concerned about my neighbor's tomorrow? Am I passionately pursuing a name for myself? Or am I passionately pursuing giving everything away so that I might make a difference in the world? Am I excited about leaving a legacy for my children of the American dream? Or am I excited about leaving a legacy for generations of the kingdom of God and the mission of God and the things that God is doing? Which of those two things truly revs us up? Which of those things gets us excited? Which of those things makes us want to die for it? Somebody this week at the summit we were at said, whatever it is that you think of that I would die for that, then live for it. And that's what I'm asking us to do. To live for the mission of God, as opposed to the mission of ourselves. To pray, God, bless us so that we can bless those around us. With time, with money, with our energy. Invite somebody, as we saw a minute ago. Let me pray. Lord, bless us. Help me to be bold in asking and praying that. Help us all to be bold in praying. Bless us, Lord. But forgive us. Forgive me for the times that I ask for your blessing because it's about me. Help me to get past that. Help us to grow to a place where we pray that you will pour your blessing out on us, so that we can bless others. God, motivate us. Show us how. Open doors in workplaces this week, and in classrooms, and in community events where we might be a blessing to others. And God, please, not only would you please help the nations to praise you, bring that about right here in our city, but God, motivate us to want to see it. It's in your name. Amen.